Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. Well, if you haven't heard some of my other shows, you can always go back and listen to the archives. Today, I'm interviewing Alex Hyde-White, an actor who's been in such films as Pretty Woman, Fantastic Four, and tons of TV shows, including Baywatch, Hill Street Blues, Battlestar Galactica, more recently TV shows like The Mentalist and Dexter. The list goes on and on. Well, now he's made his directorial debut with a film called 3 Days of Hamlet. It's a documentary that kind of goes back and forth between talking about the recent death of his father and this production of Hamlet that he put together in 3 days. It's a staged reading of Hamlet. And if anybody knows how difficult Shakespeare is just to understand, let alone read in front of an audience and interpret it, you can imagine how difficult this can be, even with classically trained actors. He has wonderful actors like Richard Chamberlain and Stephanie Power involved in the production, and it's really interesting to see them kind of struggle with the material because with no rehearsal time, it's a little bit different than what they are used to. Well, we should have Alex on the line shortly, and we'll be able to ask him about the film and also about his experiences as an actor. As I said, he's been involved in a lot of different productions, and this is his directorial debut, so this is, I'm sure, a little bit different for him than the usual. But I think I do have him on the line. Let me go ahead and check in with him. Alex, are you there?
Yeah, right here, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being on the show today. I'm going to dive right in with questions. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, well, I was just telling them about 3 Days of Hamlet and how this intersperses a staged reading production of Hamlet with memories of your father, actor Wilfred Hyde-White, who had just died. How did the death of your father lead you to Hamlet? What was that journey like? How did you get to Hamlet?
Well, you know, I think Shakespeare invented that. Well, he certainly used that 500 years ago. The ghost of the father comes back and sort of motivates the boy to take care of the royal business that had been left untended. So, you know, my dad was in his mid-50s when I was born, and he'd actually passed away several years ago and left behind a sort of an unrequited desire to explore classical material. He was a popular actor, and was
right.
A light comedian, and so I gravitated to classics, and it's almost like I was inspired by him subconsciously to do it, which I just thought was an interesting simile to the plot of Hamlet.
Yeah. Had you done Hamlet before?
In workshops, classes, never full production. You know, it's one of those parts that everybody wants to do when you're, you're a youngish actor, you know. So it's sort of out there to be, it's like Captain Ahab and the Whale, you know.
Right. And you had all these great classically trained actors like Richard Chamberlain, and you had Stephanie Powers. And it was really interesting to see how they were presented in such a different light than how you normally think of them, because it really is them going through this material. Now, I know you had a personal connection with them, but had you worked professionally with some of them as well?
No, and I've known Stephanie since I was a kid. I didn't know Richard at all, and never had worked with him. Funnily enough,
okay.
I never really worked with my dad either. We were both on an old TV show at Universal back in like early 80s, the Buck Rogers show, but we never really worked together. The only time we were on screen together was from the old Merv Griffin talk show when I was 21 years old or something, and we used a clip of that in the movie to illustrate the story.
Yeah,
but
that
was
great.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. It was those sort of discovery elements for us and for me as the storyteller that were most exciting, to be joined by the actors that we had that you mentioned, Richard and Stephanie. You know, rather like myself, when we were working out in Hollywood in TV and film, you know, any sort of theater or any sort of classical stuff. It's like a hobby. You sort of have to do that in your own time. And we're all American actors, and it was great to be able to dive into the material in this way. But yeah, they certainly brought themselves to it.
Yeah. They seemed a little bit hesitant in parts. It was kind of funny to hear some of the commentary by some of the actors. Did you know that they were feeling kind of a little stressed out about doing this production?
No, I didn't. Not really for Richard. For Stephanie, you know, I've known Stephanie quite well for years. And, you know, she likes to play it close to the vest, I guess, you know. She's very willing, and she is... A courageous actor, but I don't think she likes to share herself much.
Yeah.
You know, she's a charming, but I wouldn't call her the most sort of gregarious person. She's a wonderful host, don't get me wrong, but she likes that element of sort of mystery, and she likes to keep things close to the vest. And it was interesting to see that progression with her, you know, because, you know, by the end, especially with the scene with Hamlet and his mother, which she plays, you know, we really sort of go after. So I think what you're seeing in the film, which I think is rather interesting, you're seeing actors whom we don't really know personally. You get a feeling you understand more about them, and then when you see them acting in these sort of penultimate scenes, you understand more about the humanity of it, because you've seen their humanity develop over the film. You know what I mean? Is that what you're saying? That's a good observation, and it's something that really only happens sort of by accident. I mean, naturally, you try to bring humanity to any character you're playing. I mean, that's the essence of it, and it's up to the audience to legitimize it if they experience it. And I guess the way we set this up was that they could bring whatever they wanted, and if they didn't want to bring anything, then that would show. And so by the end of it, I think everybody was rather forthcoming.
Yeah, it was really interesting. The character that played Ophelia did such an awesome job. She just came out and she memorized the whole script, and I thought she was really a standout in this. So it kind of gives the person that is not as well known a chance to shine as well.
That's the wonderful thing about, you know, indie films, is that you know, you can get. I mean, my own career has been illustrative of that. I get big parts in small movies and small parts in big movies, fortunately. And, you know, you hope that it sort of evens out. So when we were making this, and it was always a very, very independent film based on a classical structure, we were wide open. In fact, Richard Chamberlain came to us through the conventional casting channel, through a submission from his manager, because I didn't have a relationship with him. Along with Eva, I knew Eva's manager, and you know he was good in presenting her for the role. But Eva came in and grabbed it. I mean, as you see, she was she was good casting.
Great. And what did this film teach you professionally as an actor?
Well,
just as the actor part of it.
What it taught me as an actor is that sometimes we get caught up, not to over-prepare, I think is really the answer. Sometimes, especially when we're auditioning for big parts at the network or whatnot, we have a tendency, you know, like a professional golfer, just to spend hours out on the range and preparing. And this project was all about gathering and preparing for as much as we can, and then just sort of going for it. And I think what it taught me as an actor, and now that I've been acting for a long time, it was sort of like a transfusion of courage. Just go ahead and go for it, and trust yourself, I think, is what. Rather like, you know, Chamberlain says to me before we do it, and Polonius says to his son, you know, trust yourself, to thine own self be true.
Right. Right.
And that, you know, I don't have a rehearsed answer to that question, as you can tell by my hesitancy, but I think that's the answer, to thine own self be true, because this film is nothing if it's not a representation of me in a creative sense, you know. It was a story that I think only I could tell in this way, and by extension, if an audience or if a member of the audience resonates, then, you know, I would say tell your own story, you know. Don't be afraid to tell your story.
Well, was it challenging being an actor and also being a director in this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it always is because, you know, you're leaving yourself open to judgments and criticism. But I've always admired, growing up, I admired Warren Beatty and Robert Redford and later Kevin Costner. And these guys were mm-hmm. actors who Michael Douglas, who would find these projects, create them, produce them, and with the exception of Michael Douglas, quite often direct them themselves. And rather like I just said about, you know, our small movie, you know, when a film like Dances with Wolves or Reds, I mean, there's only one person mm-hmm. who could make that film, and it just happened to be the guy, you know, who was in the middle
right.
of it. And so that is the ultimate goal. That was the ultimate goal for me, being a, you know, a Hollywood kind of guy being brought up out there, even though I was born in England. That
mm-hmm.
that was what I wanted to do. And it's very hard to go the conventional way. I mean, you know, there's only one Warren Beatty every generation, you know.
Right.
And so this film represents so much in terms of career ambition. And again,
mm-hmm.
going back to your previous question, it was obviously more to me than just career ambition, because
yeah.
I wasn't afraid to sort of bear myself. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the challenge will be to do that in a conventional scripted film, if we end up making it, you know, this,
yeah.
the elements of this film being as sort of unscripted as they were. Basically, half of the film is we're doing Hamlet, the other half is we're unscripted talking about it, and the
right.
art was weaving it together. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
an unconventional style of filmmaking.
Absolutely. And your children are also shown in the film. Are they in the industry as well?
My younger boy, he's just turned 11. He was 9 when we made this movie. He's been doing some commercials, and, yeah, he's been going to classes here. My older boy is, no, he's more into the digital and the creative behind the scenes. But my younger boy rather likes it, yeah.
Now,
he would be the
fourth
generation actor. Well, he is the fourth generation
yeah.
actor in our family.
Wow.
Yeah,
and did you have
an uncle
professional...
before.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, before my dad, in the turn of the 20th century, there was an uncle who started in England as an actor.
Wow. Yep. I was going to ask you, did you have professional training, or did you learn from your father? You know, were you self-taught? How did you progress professionally, learning, you know, studying to be an actor?
Right.
Tell us about that.
No, well, what I learned from my father was the ability to sort of get out on stage and create a show, to
mm-hmm.
find an audience every night, even though you're doing 8 shows a week. There are 8 different audiences, and you
right.
know, it's like fishing. Sometimes you can be in the same hole, but you just need slightly different bait. So I think what I learned from my dad was the importance of recognizing each performance, or each scene in a movie, for instance, as an individual moment, and
mm-hmm.
that can be applied, you know, not only to acting, that can be applied across the board to many different things. But I certainly didn't receive any sort of classical training growing up sort of backstage around my dad, because he wasn't a classical actor. So
mm-hmm.
that was you know, he wasn't the Royal Shakespeare Company, the Olivier kind of guy. He was a bit,
right.
he was a bit more like Peter Sellers and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and these wonderful people that were there at the time, and sort of more right brain, I suppose, than left brain. Classical
mm-hmm.
theater requires, you know, the structure, the understanding, and all this stuff. And frankly, that sort of bored me as a younger actor. I loved the idea, and I played Romeo when I was young. And, you know, there's only one way to learn those parts, is to study, study, study. And then the joy is in your performing, to sort of break loose and let it live as if it's happening once and only once, and that's a rare gift. So
yeah.
The classical bit, I came to my, I guess you would say, you know, the choices you gave me would be number C. I'm self-taught classical, but it's because
uh-huh.
I went after it, and I read a lot about it, and, you know, even, you see Marlon Brando and Julius Caesar, for crying out loud, it's wonderful,
mm-hmm.
and I've never
yeah.
been afraid of an American sort of style applied to Shakespeare, you know, and by and And in return, you know, we're seeing a lot of British actors, British and Australians, especially in American TV and films these days. And so there is more of a one world approach to this kind of stuff now, I think.
And you've been in so many great TV shows and films. What was your favorite? Do you have a favorite production that you were involved in?
You know,
probably several, but.
I think that, you know, going through, I remember a couple of productions in the 80s. One was in 83, we made a miniseries for NBC where we recreated the first modern Olympics in the 1896 Athens Games. And NBC ran it during the LA Olympics in 84. And, you know, we were like, what, 23 years old. And there were 12 or 14 of us playing these original athletes. It was David Caruso and Hunt Block and Matt Frewer and Jason Connery. We were all these young actors in Athens and London for 10 weeks recreating the games. And we got to run around and work in the Panathenaic Stadium in Athens. And, you know, it was a miniseries. And so it's still around. But in terms of a job, especially for a young actor, that was wonderful. Because I think don't become an actor if you're not already at age 5 running around the park with a sword in your hand or playing Peter Pan or being a damsel in distress. If you're not out there sort of, you know, with an imagination, creating scenarios, then you gotta. And I would say, why do you want to be an actor? Because the goal for an actor is to find yourself recreating things like the first Olympics, or later on in the 80s, I was a flyer on a John F. Kennedy, the Navy aircraft carrier, and Top Gun for TV, which was a series called Super Carrier. And you know, these are little moments, but there's no way. How am I going to find myself in an aircraft carrier with a lieutenant suit on, having Marines saying, yes, sir, and getting out of the way, you know?
Right.
I spend 30 years or 20 years in the Navy, you know? And those are singular moments in terms of sort of a kid loving to play act. And I think professionally, in terms of movies that I've been very happy to be a part of was Pretty Woman, of course, because that sort of snuck up on everybody and became, you know, a classic romantic comedy of the era. And it was a discovery film for Julia and a comeback film for Richard Gere and Ralph Bellamy's last movie. And I was part of that group. And then Catch Me If You Can, I've worked with Steven Spielberg three times, and each time it's, you know, you feel like you're on the moon. You're just sort of, you're separate from the rest of the world for that time. And you're in his creative bubble, but he is so collaborative that you really feel that you're part of something that is going to be influential. It's going to be good. And I'm lucky to be around that influence. But I'll tell you this, the creation that is 3 Days of Hamlet is both a result of both of those play acting experiences that I've enjoyed sort of as a big kid playing, and the technical inspiration that I received being on these really good movies. That allowed me that allowed me the courage to trust myself, because I knew that I had been in situations very, very right next to the people who were doing it. So, you know, therefore I felt, okay, I could do it. But I'm playing Hamlet, and I'm playing the Ghost of the Father, which we green-screened prior, and I'm putting my boys in it, and I'm creating this sort of miasma of a film set. So, like, a guy like Richard Chamberlain is saying, you know, why is there two scenes rehearsing at the same time on stage? Which is an absolutely legitimate question, but, you know, to me, it never occurred any differently. Because we don't have much time, and we have a big stage, and we need to rehearse, so throw them on out there. That was, you know, and we end up covering it, and it looks like confusion, and it looks like chaos. But the reason that the film plays so well is because I think the audience can understand the logic that lies within the chaos.
Did you take some of all the directors that you've worked with, like Steven Spielberg, did you take some of the things that they have, you know, shown you as an actor, them being a director, did you take some of that knowledge and put it into this as a director?
Oh, absolutely. And right off the bat, the thing about Steven is he's such a technical master that he can afford, and I think part of his technique is to empower everyone on the set with the freedom and the confidence that can result in their very, very best work. And, you know, I'm on the set with Leonardo DiCaprio and Christopher Walken, who I think, won an Oscar for that film, or certainly was nominated. And there's no difference. It's, you know, if Alex is talking, Alex is talking, and Chris Walken will wait, you know. And I don't want, you don't want to blow six takes. You don't want to be the guy in the room when there's four people in the scene who's got to do six or eight takes, and when Chris Walken only needs to do one, or Leo needs to do one. Put it this way, if Leonardo needs another take, he'll get one. So what I'm saying is, when you're like the when you're the pinch hitter on the team, you know, you just like to get up there and get a hit, to sort of use baseball analogy. And being with Steven once before on Catch Me If You Can, I knew that this guy is not intimidating. This guy is creatively inspiring. So, yes, certainly learned that. And from Gary Marshall, I think I learned to appear to have faith, even if you don't. Gary's a funny guy, you know. I think she could be big. He's talking about Julia Roberts. Like, yeah, no duh. But, you know, not yet, she ain't. Yeah, so, you know, Gary has a little more, you know, sort of Brooklyn kind of, come on, we need to get this going, a little more team manager kind of spirit. I worked with Elaine May, another gifted comedian in this wonderful, crazy Ishtar in the mid-'80s, which was with Beatty and Hoffman. So, you know, again, I was with my, sort of one of my filmmaking idols was to work with Warren Beatty. And I'm on the set of Ishtar, and Elaine May, in truly sort of existential form, is a living, it's like a moving creation. And we're out there in the sand dunes of Morocco, which is not an easy place to move. And so, you know, I would learn a little bit perhaps from her about how to manage excess, how to focus even when your intentions or your instincts might take you out of yourself. And again, I think that was part of our ability to get through the play in 3 days, was to create a potential for chaos and then cover and capture us controlling, or at least managing, the chaos.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is being shown Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m., I'm going to say this now, at Movico Parisian 20 at City Place, and then again on Wednesday, April 18th at 5 p.m., at Cobb's Downtown at the Gardens as part of the Palm Beach International Film Festival. Are you going to be there at any of those performances?
Yeah, I'm there for the first screening. Yeah, we're there for Friday. I'm looking forward to it very much. I've got my wife and my son, 11, my Jack, who's 11. He's in the film with us. You know, it's spring break, and we're actually in Pensacola, Florida, right now as I'm speaking to you, enjoying Easter with Shelley's family. We're out at the beach, and we're driving through Orlando. We'll be in Palm Beach in time for the screening at the end of the week, so we're looking forward to it very much. We're happy to show. It's really our premiere at Palm Beach. We showed it, won a family film festival in Hollywood just 2 weeks ago, which was our first fest, and we were honored with the Best Documentary Feature Award at that.
Oh, great.
At that festival, and so, you know, Palm Beach is our East Coast premiere. We're looking forward to it.
Great. Well, before we leave, is there a website or anything that you want to give us to tell us, you know, that they can find out more about the film or about you?
Oh, yeah, I'd go to Facebook. We have a strong site, and Palm Beach has been very good at keeping updates. We're on Facebook, 3 Days of Hamlet on Facebook, and there's a website, 3daysofhamlet.com. But the Facebook, it really updates, because when there's news, and, you know, like later on we'll go and say, had a great interview today with Rachel Galvin. All that will be there.
Great. Perfect. Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today, and I look forward to hopefully meeting you on Friday, the 13th.
I look forward to it.
There.
I hope to see you. Yeah, please.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex.
Say hi to our guest. All right.
Okay,
does any of your
so
listeners, if you like us on Facebook, let us know how you found out about us, and if it's from this show, we'll give you 2-for-1s, or we'll make sure you get into the show if you want to.
Oh, there you go. All right.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
All right. Well, you know, I'm an actor manager, and that's the manager in me. The actor in me says, come on, I want people to come and see it. The manager in me says, no, we got to sell tickets. So I'm doing both. I'm giving them away.
Multitasking, that's the way to do it.
Thank you so
all
much.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, happy Easter.
Bye-bye. Happy Easter.
Bye.
Okay, well, that was an excellent interview with Alex Hyde-White. If you missed any portion of this interview, you definitely want to go back and listen to the whole thing and hear about his great performances throughout the years in his film. It's a great, enlightening interview. But once again, I want to tell you that the film 3 Days of Hamlet that he directed, and he is also stars in as Hamlet, is going to be shown Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. at Movie Co-Parisian 20 at City Place, and he will be there. And also again on Wednesday, April 18th at 5 p.m. at Cobb's at Downtown at the Gardens up in the West Palm Beach area, okay? And then who knows, there may be other screenings at some point. But also go to the Palm Beach Film Festival website. Just type in Palm Beach Film Festival on Google, and you can get a schedule of all the different films that are showing up for the film festival, which starts on the 12th. Also, remember that I have archives of all my shows, so if you missed anything, you can go back and listen to any of the shows that I've done previously with different directors, producers, etc. And also go to my website, which is IndependentStreak, streak.ning.com, where I have a lot of information about upcoming events. I'm going to be putting up a lot of stuff about the film festival, a lot of reviews, that type of thing, up soon as well. So check that out. And another local note, the Palm Beach County filmmakers are having a red carpet event for their film Caught in the Middle. It's a webisode, actually, Caught in the Middle. It's coming up on April 27th, and it will be at the Living Room Theater in Boca Raton at the FAU campus. And if you just Google Palm Beach County filmmakers, you can find their website and all the different events that they're doing. They're doing all kinds of different things. But this film was actually written by kids, preteens that wrote this film. It's a short webisode, and that will be filmed probably in May. And I'm lucky enough to actually have a small part in the film. But I want to put it out there. It's a good project because it is written by kids, which is kind of unique. So they're having a fundraiser on the 27th, and that should be a good mingling opportunity for any actors, filmmakers out there. It's going to be kind of a big deal. So you want to check that out. Also, remember, I have another show as well that you can check out, which is called Basics of the Biz, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/basicsofthebiz, where I give some of my own personal insights as an actor in the indie industry through the years. I have information on headshots, resumes, finding your look, marketing your look, networking, classes, unions, etc. So you can find that out as well. But I really thank you for tuning in today, and you want to check out the show next week, again on Sunday at 1 p.m., next week, I will be interviewing producer Zach Norman, who was involved with the film Overnight, which is also going to be shown at the Palm Beach International Film Festival. So I will be interviewing him next Sunday at 1 o'clock, so you want to tune in for that. And just keep in touch, you know, keep looking back at the website and seeing what's coming up next, because I have a lot of big people that I'm going to be interviewing in the next few weeks, so check it out. But once again, thanks for tuning in, guys, and I will be back next Sunday, same bad channel, same bad time, and check out the Palm Beach International Film Festival. I will be there as much as I can, so hopefully I'll get to meet some of you that I don't know already. All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.